We're talking summer reads here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Weather is warm, kids are out, almost out, and this summer is a good one for literature. We've got page turners ahead, lots of suggestions for kids and adults. So let's get to it. You can join in with the summer reads on your list at 800-642-1234. Also, what book recommendations do you have for young readers, whether they're just tots or teens? Is it a recent favorite? Perhaps it's a classic from your childhood. Call in. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We have two longtime librarians joining us from our studios in Eau Claire. Becky Wojahn teaches children's and young adult literature classes in the Library and Information Services Program at Chippewa Valley Technical College in Eau Claire. She also writes books for kids under the pen name W.H. Beck. Becky, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And Caroline Ackervik is here. She's an elementary school librarian at Lakeshore Elementary in Eau Claire and author of middle grade and young adult fiction. Caroline, welcome back to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, Caroline, let's start with you. Kids all over Wisconsin are starting to kick off their summer breaks, which means that there's plenty of downtime.
Yes.
How important is maintaining good reading habits during the summer?
Well, that's what we really focus on as librarians working with our students in the last few weeks of school. There's something called the summer reading gap, where kids who don't read over the summer actually lose skills and kind of deteriorate as readers. So they come in 3 months behind where they should be had they maintained a certain level of reading. So we talk about this with our students so that they know that they really do need to spend some of that unstructured summertime reading a book.
And Becky, with so many hours in the day, it can be easy to spend a lot of the day on a screen, on the TV or iPad. That's worrisome, of course, for parents. What do we know about the appropriate amount of screen time for our kids?
Yeah, that's something we all struggle with, I think. There's a lot of research out there and a lot of articles. And basically, it's just kind of setting limits with kids. So under two, you know, it's really not recommended to have any screen time at that age. A little bit older, it's about an hour a day.
Two to five is about an hour a day.
Yeah. And then, you know, beyond that, it's just kind of limiting it. And I think that's something that, you know, we all struggle with. So I think modeling that as an adult, too, of, you know, there's certain times of the day where the screens don't need to come out and that kind of thing can really help show your older teens and your, tweens just how to set those limits.
Right, because there's nice weather outside. There's lots to do that could, you know, be a creative game you could play and plenty to do off the screen in this great weather.
Well, I think that as parents and as adults, we do struggle with learning to manage our own screen time. And so when I talk to my students, and my students are K through 5, we discuss things like what habits and rules do you have in your home regarding screen use? And it's actually kind of interesting because kids notice what adults do. And kids notice if you're on your cell phone at the dinner table. And this isn't meant to be judgmental or critical. I mean, we've all done that. But it's having an awareness that kids need to actually have face-to-face interactions to develop those social cues, to understand how to read facial expressions. Kids need that time. And as adults, you know, some of us aren't digital natives. I'm not in my age category. And as a result, we've had to learn and adapt to the omnipresence of screens. And because of that, we really have to think and be purposeful in the amount of time that we spend in front of them.
We're talking with Caroline Ackervik. She's an author and elementary school librarian. Becky Wojahn here as well, author and teaches children's and young adult literature. You can join in with your summer reading suggestions at 800-642-1234. How do you get your kids excited about reading during the summer months? Is there a book you just couldn't put down recently? Are you rereading the book this summer? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Becky, we can sometimes become hyper-focused on the reading habits of kids And, you know, parents reading matters too. How important is it for parents to pick up a book and actually be readers around their kids?
Well, I think that is really super important and probably more important than you realize. Like as Caroline said, kids are watching what we do and showing them that reading is something that you enjoy, that it's worth spending time on, really holds a lot of weight in their eyes. And when we're talking about reading, it doesn't always have to be reading a big, thick novel. It can be reading the newspaper. It can be reading, you know, how-to books. It can be reading fun stuff that ties into, like, you know, popular culture type things. But really just showing them that it's important to take some downtime and read. And, you know, some families even just have some time where they sit down and read together, and that can be really powerful. So obviously, you know, reading with your kid is great as they get older, reading next to them, or just, again, just having those that time where you're turning off all your devices and everybody pull out a book or something to read.
Well, I want to get into some of your tips. Caroline, you say to read short. Reading short can be beneficial. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you hand a kid a great big novel, or if you have especially a reluctant reader, they look at the book and they're very intimidated. So short reads sometimes allow kids to find material more accessible. So we have some suggestions for short reads that we think kids find particularly attractive. Becky?
And I think, too, short reads, especially in summer, where your schedule is maybe a little bit off and it's not, you know, that routine of the school day. Short reads are a great way to just fit in a little bit of reading, 10 minutes here, and it doesn't have to be this whole big book that you're trying to figure out where you left off on. So there's short stories are a great time in the summer. There's a Guys Read series by John Skecha, who there's a sports one, there's funny one, there's heroes, all sorts of things. And that's a great one to just pick up and read for a few minutes, finish the story in one sitting and be able to move on. Graphic novels are great quick
yes.
reads. So, and that's also something that is often really engaging for kids. So, you know, don't discount that as not reading, because that's a great way to keep kids reading. Anything that holds their interest and wants them to keep doing it is excellent. There's also a super fun website called Wonderopolis, which is geared maybe a little bit on the younger side for kids, but honestly, as an adult, I find it super interesting, too. It's basically each day they take a wonder of the day and explore it. So it might be something simple like, you know, why is the sky blue? But they'll get into the science or the culture of it, and it's really kind of a fun thing. So I could see that being just a quick check-in for a kid to be able to read a little bit more. And sometimes those are also launching pads for reading longer, too. So,
and it was so cool. That site asked so many different questions. You know, are pennies lucky? And where does compost come from? I mean, it just all of these questions, and you can really get sucked into it.
You can. And it's a great, like I said, it's like a great launching off point, too, because kids might have their own wonders. And, well, you know, let's go to the library and find out.
Yes, my sister and I call that going down rabbit holes. And as adults, we do tend to do that. And allowing a kid to pursue their interest, that's the best way to engage them as readers.
We're talking summer reads for kids and adults with Caroline Akravic and Becky Wojahn as our guides. Caroline is an author and elementary school librarian. Becky, an author and teaches children's and young adult literature. You can join in on the book discussion, 800-642-1234. So what's your strategy to get kids reading over the summer? Do your kids seem to naturally enjoy reading, or do they require a bit of coaxing? Do you set aside time in the summer to read? Where do you do it, and what books do you like to pick up? Call in. You can also tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back to this in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We are soaking up summer books here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There are the bestseller lists, but it really helps to have someone curate for you to match your interests. And here's a plug. At your local library, there are experts here to lead you toward titles you might enjoy. What book recommendations do you have for young readers in particular? Is there one book you want to read together with a child? And how are you modeling good reading behavior to your kids? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Caroline Akravic is an author, an elementary school librarian, and Becky Wojan here. She's an author and teaches children's and young adult literature. Becky, you also recommend reading and doing. Can you tell us what you mean here?
Yeah. Well, I think this is something that comes really naturally to kids. Like my own kids, whenever they want to learn something, they hop right on YouTube and look it up. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of books out there, too, and learning how to read directions and figure things out from a book is also a really useful skill. So it's super fun to take a book. Like I've got a book by an author called Dig In, 12 Easy Gardening Projects Using Kitchen Scraps. And it's a book where you can actually grow vegetables from your kitchen scraps, you know, like romaine lettuce and garlic and all that. But it gives them a purpose for reading, but also something to actively do as well. So it kind of ties in with that read short, because it's not a book where you're going to sit down and read the whole text and then go do it. You're going to read a little section and be, hey, that was neat. Let's give it a try. So finding books like that, joke and origami books, riddle books, those are super fun, like on a car ride to just read back and forth with each other. So finding books that where there's kind of that active interactive element is one way that you can, for kids who are maybe not ready to just sit down and quietly read a book, it's a good way to kind of get them involved in what they're actually reading and thinking actively about what they're reading.
It's interesting. Two of the most popular areas in my elementary school library are cookbooks and joke and riddle books. Kids love joke and riddle books. And cookbooks, kids are very excited to make and create things. And that is reading. It also involves math skills, too. So there are a lot of potential benefits from the how-to or the read-and-do books.
Well, you recommended Backyard Adventure, Get Messy, Get Wet, Build Cool Things, and Have Tons of Wild Fun, 51 Free Play Activities. I was checking out this book, and there's something about lighting sidewalk cracks on fire with Coffee Mate.
Yeah. That sounds really cool.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of you want to do with supervision.
but it was a wild and free backyard adventure. But, you know, what strikes me about these types of books is that they are instruction books. You have to, you know, read a little bit closer than you might otherwise because you need to follow instructions.
Exactly. And that is a super important skill to be able to, you know, read things sequentially and keep those in order. That's something obviously that shows up in school and it shows up in, you know, the workplace as well. Besides that, you know, you get to do fun things if you follow those directions in those books.
Then it works.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to John joining us from Boaz. Hi, John.
Good morning. I was really close and still am with my son. I think the best thing a parent can do is teach him how to read. I gave my son an incentive instead of an allowance. I gave him a penny a page to read books, and we kept track in a notebook. If he read books like children would read, How to Become a Millionaire in 3 Days,
so you were actually adding up those pennies per page in order to incentivize your son to read there. What do you think about that, Caroline and Becky?
Well, I'll admit to a barter system with my younger son for minutes on Fortnite. I will admit to that. And, you know, I guess, you know, video games aren't all bad. It's moderation. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it was motivating for him. You know, if you want to earn this amount of time playing a video game, then you're going to do it by reading. So what I did find was that if he found a book he really liked, it would draw him in, and then I didn't have to negotiate as much. But, you know, you do what works.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to kind of have that little bit of a carrot. And then, you know, obviously, ultimately, you want kids reading for reading's sake and finding value in it, because that's when they're actually going to do it on their own. And the more they do it on their own and the more they practice, the better readers they're going to be. But, you know, some kids take a little bit different take at it.
Caroline, you also like audiobooks.
Yes, I do.
What is the appeal there?
Okay, well, it's the access. If you're on a trip or if your kids are on a car trip, having an iPad or a device loaded with audiobooks makes all the difference. And our local public library offers Overdrive and Sora, which is more geared at kids through young adults. And these tools allow us to, at no cost, have audiobooks and ebooks available to us, I think like up to 10 at one time. And they're just a wonderful resource. If you're camping or if you're on a trip, you've loaded these already to your iPad or whatever device you're using, and your kids can enjoy listening or reading. A lot of kids really do enjoy listening to books, and actually they've shown that in terms of vocabulary development, listening is as good as visually reading. And so there's a lot of potential benefits, and it's fun.
Becky, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to chime in and agree that audiobooks, you know, sometimes people think that's not real reading, but audiobooks are awesome for kids to hear, especially struggling readers, to hear what fluent reading sounds like, to hear what it sounds like to read with expression. It really models that for them. And for a lot of kids who have a hard time sitting down with, you know, a big chunk of text, having an audiobook to, you know, follow along with can help them keep moving through that book. And it's a really great way to get kids engaged in story and get them involved. So it's fantastic. And like Caroline said, just can't stress it enough, that everybody in Wisconsin has access to the public library Overdrive system, which
it's absolutely
is free
incredible.
With your library card. So you can check those out, download them to your phone or other device, and
away
you
go. They're
yours to read and listen to for a few weeks.
Great for car trips.
And there is going to be some this summer. So let's get into some book recommendations now by age, and let's start with those youngest kids. Becky, you shared with us some suggestions for picture books. What do you think makes a great picture book?
Oh, well, picture books are really meant to be shared and read out loud. So a great picture book is a book that when you're reading the words out loud, it's engaging and exciting for the listener, but also the art is really an integral part of the whole story. So oftentimes in a really good picture book, there will be like a whole nother story or a whole nother layer to the story in the illustrations. So having that dual combination makes a great picture book. And that's also something that, you know, on our regular everyday life, that's a great skill and for kids to have, because the world is a very visual place, and having that visual literacy is really important.
Caroline, what are some of your recent favorite picture books?
Well, first of all, I'd like to add to what Becky was saying. Picture books operate on many different levels for young readers and for older readers. And I have a rule. My mom always read me sad animal stories growing up. And I generally avoid any story that involves, you know, something tragic with an animal. But one of my favorite books, recent books, is a book called The Rough Patch, which is written and illustrated by Brian Lies. And I don't want to be a spoiler, but it is a story of loss and recovery. And it involves Evan and his dog, and they're inseparable, and they work on this beautiful garden together. And then the unfortunate event happens, and then it's a story of how life, actually a pumpkin vine, helps Evan find hope again. It's an absolutely beautiful story, and the illustrations are magnificent, because when Evan's struggling with his feelings of loss, he destroys the garden they created. And you can't, I mean, it's hard to describe, but the pictures are so magnificent that I had to overcome my sad animal story objection for this one, because it's such a magnificent book.
Becky, how about you?
Well, I hate to piggyback on that, but there is a book called Blue by Laura Vaccaro Seeger, which is a great example of what I was talking about the pictures going with and this is actually a wordless, almost nearly wordless book. Basically, the concept is all the different kinds of blue there are out there, baby blue, true blue, ocean blue, and she has an illustration for each one of them. But it's also, if you're reading the illustrations, it's telling a story of a boy and his dog. And it's just a very clever book from the concept, but also that she also has been able to incorporate the story into it. And again, the illustrations are amazing. It also might make you cry. So
yes.
I'm trying to think of some other fun picture books here. Another one that I really liked is called The Lost Forest by Phyllis Root. And that has kind of a local tie. It's about it's a true... true story about this certain section of land in Minnesota that was accidentally, when it was surveyed in 1882, was marked as a lake instead of a forest. And so it never got logged. And it's still there today. It's got the ancient virgin forest on there still growing, and you can go visit it. It's a state park now. But it's kind of neat to pull in some kind of local ties in your reading, too, sometimes.
University of Minnesota Press. Caroline Akravic, an author and elementary school librarian with us. Becky Wojahn, author and teaches children's and young adult literature. You as well, 800-642-1234. Is there a page-turner that you want to share with us you think that would make the perfect summer read? Call in, tweet us. We'll be back in just a moment after this news update here on the Ideas Network. We're building a summer reading list here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hearing about books to keep you and your kiddos company as the weather warms and the days grow longer. Lights out later, a good book is such a wonderful companion. Parents, what is your strategy to get kids reading over the summer? Do your kids seem to naturally enjoy reading, or do they require some coaxing? Are you having to battle keeping the smartphones and tablets at bay? Join in with your suggestions, your questions about great books, 800-642-1234. We have Eau Claire librarians guiding us. Becky Wojahn now teaches children's and young adult literature classes at the Chippewa Valley Technical College. She also writes books for kids. And Caroline Akravic is here. She's an elementary school librarian and author of middle grade and young adult fiction. And we have all of their book recommendations they've compiled on our morning show page at WPR.org. So let's go to the phones now with Stefan joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Stefan.
Yes, good morning. Great show. I just had a suggestion for younger teens. It's a book called Walk Two Moons. It's about a Native American family and the youngest child's loss of her mother and how the family comes together to help her with that loss. And my daughter and I read it, and it's her favorite book. Secondly, we have a game that we play. She's eight. It's called Word of the Day, where she tries to find a word in the dictionary that I don't know, and I do the same with her. We have a saying in our house that books are people too, because they really do have a life of their own.
Oh, that's so lovely, Stefan. Thank you for that. And he is recommending Walk Two Moons, which is a novel written by Sharon Creech, and it's published by HarperCollins.
Yes, it's an absolutely beautiful story.
Yep.
And I really liked how he brought up the idea of wordplay and language play, because that's really critical for our children's language development. And, you know, playing with words, having fun with words, talking about words, that's really neat. And it's a fun thing you can do even just sitting in the car.
And you can learn a lot, too, if you're getting stumpers.
Yes.
Let's go to Dave now, joining us from Delavan. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say first, Stefan, you're a really great dad. I really enjoyed everything you just said. My kids are grown now. This is all hindsight, but I'm enjoying hearing what everybody's saying. One of the first chapter books that my kids were exposed to, they were actually a little young. I'd read to them every night. We did a new chapter every night. Was Owls in the Family by Farley Mowat. It's an oldie. It's been around since, I don't know, at least the 60s. It might even be the 50s, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's true life adventures of the author Farley Mowat. It's got all kinds of animals and adventures, and it's just a great book.
Yeah, originally published 1961, I'm seeing here. So that's been around a while, Dave.
And go ahead.
I can't imagine any kid not enjoying it. It's a great book.
There are some great old classics. My kids always enjoyed hearing Beatrix Potter stories. And they're, again, agricultural, animals. And my kids love those. So there are some great oldies but goodies.
So let's move into some of the additional titles that you've been recommending here, and moving on into easy readers and early chapter books. What do we know there? It's Dragons in a Bag is the first one.
Yeah, I have that on my list. And this is a short chapter book. You know, a lot of times kids are drawn to fantasy. That's a super popular genre. We all know that. But oftentimes those fantasy books are like 400, 500, 600 pages. They're huge. Mm-hmm. Dragons in a Bag is a chapter book that is a fantasy, but it's short. It's got short chapters. It's illustrated. And not only that, it's this kind of rare urban fantasy with kids of color. And so that's hardly something you ever see in fantasy books for kids. So it's getting better with the diversity in children's lit, but there is a long way to go. So basically in the story, Jackson, he's sent to a babysitter for the day because his mom has to go to court to fight an eviction notice. And the lady he stays with turns out to be a witch who's just received a package of baby dragons. And of course, the dragons escape, and Jackson and his two friends have to try and catch them. And it's going to be a series. There's book two coming up. So it's a great kind of starter first chapter book, maybe just a step up from Magic Treehouse, if you're aware of that level.
And I think perfect for parents who are Game of Thrones fans.
Yes.
Right. Well, you recommend some series books. Meet Yasmin, another one of those.
Yep, that is another one that I've really enjoyed. This is probably even an easier chapter book. It's got just a few lines of text per page. But what I love about this story or this series is Yasmin is just a regular girl. She's a second grader who likes to explore. She's a creative thinker. But all the characters in her family are a multi-generation Pakistani-American family. So you also get to see that part of her life. And they just do a really great job in that series of bringing in a lot of diversity. Like her grandpa is in a wheelchair, and it's not part of the story. It's just something that is. And I love that to kind of just see a little bit different lens for some of these picture book series or easy reader series, I should say.
And kids really want to see themselves in the books that they're reading. That's a really important element. So having real-life examples and experiences represented in the books is very important.
There's also the Mr. Monkey series. I wasn't familiar with this one. Mr. Monkey Bakes a Cake.
This was one that was new to me, too. Some of my students at CBTC read this series as part of our Easy Reader section. And it's basically slapstick is what it is. Mr. Monkey wants to make a banana cake, and every disaster and pratfall that could happen happens. But humor is a great way to get kids into reading. And so anytime I can share a funny book with kids, I know we've talked about sad books. We were just joking about that on the break. but funny books are really a huge draw for kids. And of course, that makes it more fun for everybody when you're reading those funny books. And Mr. Monkey, that series is a fun one.
We're talking books with Becky Wojahn. She's an author and teaches children's and young adult literature. Caroline Akravic is here, an author and elementary school librarian. You as well. Join in with your summer reading picks for kids, for adults, 800-642-1234. How do you get your kids excited about reading during the summer months? What book have you picked up recently you couldn't put down? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. So let's move on to middle grade books now. And what do we have there, starting out with Small Spaces by Katherine Arden?
That's me again.
That's you again.
I should move from the bottom up, maybe.
Yeah, that's okay.
We kind of skipped around.
We don't, yeah. We'll just jump in as needed. Small Spaces. So I talked about how funny is a great draw for kids. The other emotion that kids are always looking for is scary. And Small Spaces is a book that scared the pants off of me. It's about a girl who's grieving the loss of her mom at the start of the book, and she's really kind of found, like, her space in just reading. And so when she comes across this woman who's throwing a book in the river, she actually saves the book, and she starts reading it, and it's this really creepy tale of these two brothers who loved a girl named Beth, and they make a deal with what's called the Smiling Man. And while she's reading this book, she has a school field trip to this old farm, and she actually finds the gravestones of those involved. Mm-hmm. And so she realizes this must be a true story. Meanwhile, things happen. The bus breaks down. They aren't able to escape this place. And it's just a super creepy story, which kids will love.
Kids do love creepy stories. The Goosebumps phenomenon proves that.
Oh, so. My goodness, yes. Well, there's also this graphic novel called New Kid, and
yes.
that certainly caught my attention there. What do we know about New Kid?
Well, New Kid's about a young man who is sent to a private school. He has to leave his school. And actually, he would prefer to be going to an art and design school. And he is African-American. And he is dealing with it's a pretty homogenous population at this new school, and he's dealing with a lot of social pressures. It is a graphic novel. It's a quick read, and it's super fun. And he is kind of irreverent and sarcastic. Would you agree with that, Becky?
Mm-hmm.
It's a neat book. It's a really fun book. Another book that I really, really enjoyed, I think probably my favorite middle grade book, was the Finding Langston book. And this was also a sad story, and I'm wondering if this is kind of a theme or trend in what I read lately. But Langston, he's also named Langston, the main character, has lost his mother, and he and his father moved to Chicago from the South. And he's completely miserable going from a rural environment to a city environment until he discovers the public library and the poet after whom his mother named him. And what was interesting about this
Langston
book was...
Langston Hughes.
Yes, Langston Hughes. Mm-hmm. And I felt what was interesting about this book was it's kind of like a prologue, and then you feel like his story should be going beyond that, but it's so beautifully written. Absolutely magnificent book.
Mm. Are there some themes that you're seeing in middle grade books? You talked about sad, but is that common?
I think you see a lot of issues that kids face today. Mm. And I think that particularly in middle grade and young adult, they're tackling tough issues, and they're not shying away from it. And I think that that's what I'm seeing is a trend. How about you, Becky?
No, I would agree. And I think that's always been there. I mean, we were talking about on the break about sad books like Where the Red Fern Grows, Where the Dogs Die.
Yes.
You know, that's always been there. But I think that's actually really helpful because it makes the books relevant for kids when they can see themselves reflected in what the story is about. And, you know, I think for all of us, for readers, is you want a book that makes you feel something when you're reading a novel. And so whether it's sad or scary or funny, those are big, that can really hook you into reading.
We have lots of great summer book selections this hour. All of these books, by the way, listed on our morning show page at WPR.org. Two longtime librarians with us from our Eau Claire studios, Caroline Akravic, an author and elementary school librarian. Becky Wojahn is an author, teaches children's and young adult literature. Still time for you to get in your questions, your summer book plans at 800-642-1234. You can email your favorite reads, ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We are enjoying summer reads here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Summer break truly is the perfect time for kids to read what they want, and sometimes that may mean rereading that same beloved book over and over. But when they're on the hunt for something new, it's a good time to tap into the school librarians, and that's what we're doing this hour. Still plenty of time for your reading recommendations, your questions about a specific genre or author that could open up your young reader to more, and anything else that is on your mind about summer books. We're at 800-642-1234. Caroline Akravic is an author and elementary school librarian, and Becky Wojahn is an author and teaches children's and young adult literature, and they stay with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Mona joining us from Madison. Hi, Mona. Are you there, Mona? Oh, Mona, I can't hear you, but recommended Late Rebellion. It's about a multiracial high school girl, and it's a young adult book by Sarah Stevenson. Do we know about that one, Becky or Caroline?
That is not on my list, but sounds interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we will add it, Mona, and I'm so sorry that we can't hear you, but thanks so much for calling in. Let us move now to some young adult books, starting
sounds
out
good.
With Lovely War by Julie Berry.
Yeah, Lovely War is a really interesting book, just the way that it's structured. It's kind of like a Scheherazade-type story. It's told by Greek gods. So basically, Aphrodite is telling the story to her husband. Mm. And they are having an argument about what is more powerful, love or war. And as an example, she starts spinning the story of two different couples in World War I that she got together. And so it's really kind of neat the way the story goes back and forth between the two. It's amazing. The author's Julie Berry and the way she put the story together. It's definitely kind of upper level YA. So if you're an adult that likes to read YA, this might be a great book for you. But it's a really a fun one. And definitely a lot of romance, war, action, all sorts of stuff in there.
So I'd like to piggyback on that. I really enjoyed I, Claudia, which is a story told by an unreliable narrator. And it's Claudia. And she's kind of an outsider. She doesn't really fit in with the hip, wealthy students at this Imperial Day Academy. But it's obviously referencing Roman history, and she has to, she ends up, there's all sorts of political intrigues, there are tyrants, betrayals, and she is an outsider and a historian, but she kind of ends up in a power role. So again, it harkens back to classical stories, but with a very contemporary spin on it.
Hmm. Speaking of history, there is Parkland, A Birth of a Movement by Dave Cullen.
Yeah, that's a nonfiction book. And that's, again, keep in mind, we've been talking a lot about novels here and fiction stories, but nonfiction is a huge. There are definitely readers who only read nonfiction, and so keep that in mind for your reader because they may be one of them. Parkland is a journalistic story, and it's a story of the kids who survived the Parkland shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. So it really profiles the different kids involved, their experiences, the whole March for Our Lives movement. It's not as depressing as it sounds. It's really more of a story of hope. There's not any focus really on the killer. In fact, he never names the killer in the book. But it's really kind of an empowering story for mm-hmm. teens, because here are some kids who took this horrible experience and have gone forward from that.
Another nonfiction, but a little bit younger geared, that I really enjoyed recently is the Camp Panda, Helping Cubs Return to the Wild. And it sounds really light and fluffy, but it's actually a story of scientists working to save the giant panda by raising them to be wild. And it's all done with photographs. The story is told through text and photographs. The cool thing is the scientists actually had to dress as pandas so that the pandas would not become accustomed to people, and they covered themselves with panda scent. And yes, I do have a teenage son. He thought it was cool also. I really enjoyed the pictures of the scientists dressed as pandas myself. But again, nonfiction is a really great way to get readers interested and invested in reading.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that's part of the whole Scientists in the Field series, right?
Yep.
Which is
yes.
the whole series where they profile real-life scientists and the work that they do with different animals around the globe. It's fascinating.
Let's take another call now. Katie is joining us from Janesville. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. I have a teenage daughter who is dyslexic and does not read very well at all. When you were talking about the graphic novels, and the Scientists in the Field sounds like it might be something for her too.
Yes.
What kind of, do the graphic novels come in different genres?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
even the great classics are now being done as graphic novels. You can find, and they're just, beautifully illustrated. It's graphic novel format, but you can find just about anything you want in a graphic novel.
Yeah, there's fantasy, there's horror, there's mysteries, there's series. I mean, if you go to your library and ask for the graphic novel section, you will probably be surprised.
It's 741.5 graphic novels.
Just exploding. And it's awesome literature. So definitely encourage your daughter to read it.
The great classics, anything you want that your daughter is interested in, she will find as a graphic novel.
And I know my daughters really like, Katie, Raina Telgemeier books.
Yes.
Drama. Yes. So this is an author who kind of, the book Smile has been something my daughter has stuck with. It's an account of the author's life from sixth grade to high school. And it's been a graphic novel that my daughter has been reading over and over. Katie, thank you so much for calling in. We're down now to our last few minutes already, but are there some books on your list that we just haven't talked about yet? We haven't gotten to.
Well, I'm just looking through my list
Becky.
Here. We had the caller who called in about and recommended Walk Two Moons. And one book that was really reminiscent of that I've read recently is called Wish by Barbara O'Connor. It's a really sweet story of a girl who's coming from a very troubled family. In fact, her dad's in jail and her mom is so depressed she can't take care of her anymore. So she goes to stay with her aunt in the Blue Ridge Hills. So it's got a lot of similarities with that Walk Two Moons. And everywhere she goes, she always is making wishes on everything. And she's always wishing for her family to get back together. And, of course, as she spends this summer here, she starts making friends. She actually rescues a dog that's very needy. And it's very reminiscent of that vibe. And it's such a lovely story.
It's very visual, too, in the descriptions. I thought that was a beautiful book. Another book I really, really liked and was surprised by was What the Night Sings by Vesper Stamper. And this is a Holocaust story. Gerda Rausch is an aspiring singer who doesn't really even know her family is Jewish until she is transported to a concentration camp. She kind of loses her voice, but she expresses herself by playing her father's violin. Mm-hmm. And a significant part of the story is post-liberation when she's trying to regain her voice and understand her Jewish heritage. It's a very visual book also. It's kind of reminds me of like Wonder in that it's very visual. Lots of drawings, lots of pictures throughout the book. Beautiful book. Very emotional to read. I thought that was an absolutely magnificent book.
Well, we spent the hour on kids' books, but Caroline and Becky, have either of you read something really good recently that you'd recommend?
You mean for
grown-ups? For yourself, for grown-ups, for real-life grown-ups.
Well, I am a huge... I have to admit, I spend most of my time reading children's books, but I am a huge mystery fan, so I read a lot of mysteries. And so there's been a couple good ones lately. Tana French is one of my favorite authors. So her Witch Elm book I really enjoyed. That's kind of got a little bit of a historical bent to it. But honestly, I spend probably most of my time reading kids' books.
Yeah, so I was trying to get through most of the American Library Association award winners this year. My mother was recently visiting me, and we were talking about books, and I was like, you should try some children's books. And I gave her a couple to consider. And what's interesting is they tend to be tighter, shorter stories, obviously. Mm. But they do hit on many of the same emotional points that adult books do. So, yes, I'm a big fan of adult literature, but I also do like children's and young adults.
Oh, this has been fun. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Becky Wojahn is a longtime school librarian, teaches children's and young adult literature classes at Chippewa Valley Technical College. And Caroline Akravic, an elementary school librarian at Lakeshore Elementary in Eau Claire, author of middle grade and young adult fiction. All of these recommendations at WPR.org on the Morning Show page. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.